Eric Looper is one of our favorite guests on this program. He stops in occasionally to tell us the wonderful work that he's been doing, everything from writing Mad Libs to great books for kids. The newest is a series called The Chocolate Lab. There are three of them. We're going to ask in what order they were written and find out much more about the series, as well as the other great work that he is up to. And it's a pleasure to welcome Eric Looper to the roundtable this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Very nice to have you with us. First of all, congratulations. Your 25th book is out.
Yes, that just dropped this week. It's exciting. I never imagined that I'd get to 2, let alone 25. So it's a real exciting week.
So how does that happen?
That's a lot of time at the laptop, I suppose. And just kind of sticking to it and staying at it.
But people have to read 1 through 24 for you to do 25,
right? I prefer them to do that, but, you know, it's not necessary, but, you know, I'm always in favor of that.
So let's talk about the new series, The Chocolate Lab. My God, it's very, very cute. I mean, as far as a marketing ploy, it's you put a cute little puppy on the front cover. I want to pick this up.
Along with the candy, so
yes,
you can't go wrong.
That's right. So the first book is Coco is Cooking Up Trouble, then Double the Trouble, and then Revenge is Sweet. So how did you come to write a book about dogs, about labs, about puppies?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I look at it as a larger book than just puppies. It really has to do with family dynamics and a family trying to survive in a small town. And the two children, Hannah and Mason, their family owns a chocolate shop in their town. And, you know, like many small businesses, they're under the pressures that we encounter on a day-to-day basis, including keeping that store open. And the trouble arises because, twofold. Number one, there's a new chocolate shop that opens in town. And number two, every time Coco smells chocolate, he goes a little bonkers and messes things up.
So tell us about the character of Coco. How did this character come about?
Well, a few years back, I had my own lab. He was a black lab,
yeah.
But I thought chocolate kids do like chocolate. So I went with the chocolate lab as the character. But I fashioned the character of Coco after my own dog that was with me until about 2008.
Now, they're the greatest dogs in the world. I have a yellow lab. So they're the greatest dogs in the world. They're expressive. They're funny. They're just goofy. There's no harm in most of them, at least none that I've met, are just beautiful, great dogs. I would think, then, that the sky's the limit as far as writing about them.
There's, you know, I never imagined writing a dog as a character would be so entertaining for me as a writer. But getting inside the thinking and the mind of the dog, I tried my best to sort of stay in that dog-like character, but he's just so intuitive, and it's just a fun write.
And these aren't talking dogs.
No.
They're not like old chatty
but
puppies,
When I say character, I just mean how he behaves, how, you know, what he chooses to do when he chooses to do it.
Yeah. Now, when you sell something like this and when you propose something like this, do you always say, okay, this is going to be a series. We're gonna follow the adventures of Coco and company.
That's always my push.
Yeah.
I don't know that the publishing companies necessarily agree with me on that. With regard to Coco and the Chocolate Lab, this was actually intended to be a one-off book. The first book was intended to be the only one. Of course, I did leave a little bit of a cliffhanger there at the end in the hopes that we would go to 2 and 3. And it's published by Scholastic Books. And once they saw that the book was taking off, they decided to go with 2 and 3.
So then you go with 2 and 3. And then do you start thinking, oh, in the back of your mind, 4, 5, 6?
You know,
or do you just wait?
I cross my fingers, but, you know, I'm also realistic. I've been known to cross my toes as well. So
ultimately appealing to second and third graders. So that is your audience. That isn't always your audience. Sometimes your audience is older.
Yeah,
right?
These are the youngest books that I've written to date. I started off writing young adult novels back. My first book came out in 2007.
Right.
And I've gradually gotten younger as the years have gone on.
Does that change anything in the way that you write other than the language?
Not even the language changes that much. I think the sophistication of the thought changes, but you know what? Kids are more sophisticated than we give them credit for.
Yeah.
And I think that young readers tend to rise to the level to which they're challenged. And these are not simple books. There's some complexity to them and there's some nuance to the writing that kids are enjoying.
So if you go into a school, is that a way of test marketing in the sense that you read and the kids laugh where you want them to laugh and they react the way you want them to react?
I don't typically share unpublished works with audiences. When a children's author is sitting there reading something, the kids invariably like it. And so it's not a fair test market per se.
I think you make it sound a little too easy. I mean, you can't read them anything.
No, this is true. And which is why, any book is that's been published, has gone through so many layers of editing. And, we've honed it to a point where we feel like it's good enough to get out there.
So then what do you get out of? I know you visit a lot of schools. What do you get out of those experiences then?
I enjoy bringing the excitement of reading to young readers, and in particular to kids who might be more reluctant readers. When I was growing up, I was somewhat of a reluctant reader, and so the fact that I became a writer myself still astounds me. But seeing sort of the light bulb go on with some of these other young readers, it's exciting to just bring that joy to them.
When you see the books in kids' hands, and I assume often kids will read them together as a class or so forth, that has to be interesting for you that you're talking to kids who have all read what you've written and to see how they react to it.
Oh, absolutely. And it's fun to hear from librarians who know that my books aren't on the shelves because they're in kids' hands, and going into bookstores and hearing how the books are selling. It's just a really amazing experience.
When you think of this as this is kind of a procedural publishing question, but what is that market like of books for kids? Is it a very crowded market that is hard to break into?
It's not an easy market to break into, and it took me quite some time to get my first contract, and it took me at least two fully written books before I got to the one that made the cut, so to speak. It's a challenge, and there's a lot of rules that go along with it. And so, even if you've written the best book or the best manuscript, I should say, out there, there's a lot that goes into the world of publishing, and you need to learn that as well.
So Scholastic publishes these books. They're one of the major publisher of kids' books. So that's great, right? And once you're in, are you in, or is it always a struggle to get the next thing?
They're not going to publish a book just because of who wrote it, for the most part.
Yeah.
They'll, every manuscript that I submit, I've submitted several proposals that have been turned down at this point. But being with a large company like this, the reach that my books have gained is just remarkable.
Yeah. When you think about that idea of, you were saying this earlier, like dogs and chocolate or dogs and candy, so there's going to be that immediate war, but then there's a complexity of the actual stories, and that's what's going to bring people in beyond that.
Absolutely. When I set out to write Chocolate Lab, I had this conversation, I recall, with my agent, and I said, I am not going to write a cutesy little doggy book. There's going to be some depth here. And there are issues of when I wrote all three books, I drew from history, and I drew from information about the Revolutionary War and from actual chocolate making and the history of chocolate making. I went to a seminar at Fort Ticonderoga that was about the role of chocolate during the American Revolution. And I try to bring depth and some serious content into these books so these kids leave these books, knowing a little bit more about something.
Why don't you have a dog now?
That's a hard question to answer, Jeff.
I'm a firm believer that dog lovers should have dogs.
I do love dogs. My daughter is dying for a dog, but we work long hours. When I'm not being a children's writer, I'm a chiropractor, and I'm at work at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm there till 6:30 at night. And to bring a dog into a situation where we're either driving it 15, 20 minutes each way to doggy daycare every day, or putting it into a a crate for 10 hours at a clip. Yeah. It's just not fair to the dog.
And well, so no, that's true.
We're holding off right now.
All right. All right. Well, because my wife and I do this, and we have someone who comes in and sees the dog several times during the day, and then, you know, we spend our time and we bring the dog where we can, and you can make it work. I just, you know, dogs need people to love them, and if you're a person who loves dogs, you should have one.
This is true. I was just at...
Especially if you're a lab lover.
Well, there you go. I was just at Paws in the Park last week, actually, to help support their cause as well, and I do a lot of work with animal rescue, so, you know, I do my share.
Yeah. Well, and you don't want to deprive your daughter of the...
Okay, I'm not letting my daughter listen to this interview.
I'm on her side. I'm clearly on her side. How old is she?
She's 13 now. She's...
Okay, well, so yeah, so she should, yeah. You want that. The series, as you mentioned, the 25th book, but this isn't the 25th. That's another series, right?
Well, I do. I in addition to the Chocolate Lab, I have another series called Key Hunters, which is still going strong.
Yep.
The fifth book just recently came out. Number 6 comes out in December, and number 7 comes out probably next spring. But I also do writing. I do Mad Lib books, which you mentioned earlier, and
yep.
I also do writing for different Cartoon Network cartoons, as well as the Star Wars franchise. I've done a Star Trek book. So, you know, I'm a little bit all over the place.
So how does a chiropractor get writing in this way? I mean,
it's books or backs. That's all I'm saying.
So when you crack the spine, it has double meaning. There's all those jokes, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, but did the which came first? I mean, did you want to be a children's book author, or were you that, and then you became a chiropractor? How does that work?
I knew that I wanted to be a chiropractor before I knew I wanted to be a writer. I didn't learn I wanted to be a writer. As I said, I was a reluctant reader, and that sort of goes hand in hand with being probably a reluctant writer.
Yeah.
And not until college did I really decide I wanted to be a writer. But, you know, the grim reality of how difficult it is to make a living as a writer dawned on me. And I said, you know, I need to continue my pathway toward my profession so that I can, you know, earn a living and go on vacations every so often and do my thing. And, you know, like most doctors pick up the golf clubs and do that on Saturdays or on Thursdays or whatever their day off is, I go to my laptop and I write my books.
And do you have the books in the waiting room?
Of course I do. Of course I do. And when kids come in the office, I'm putting them in their hands. It's a lot of fun.
You know, the other thing you could have in the waiting room, a puppy.
That has come up before as well. This is my last interview with you, Jeff.
I'm just saying. The new series is The Chocolate Lab. The gateway drug of all of this is called Coco is Cooking Up Trouble. It's The Chocolate Lab series. And if you want to find out more about Eric and all of the books, as well as the school visits, you can go to ericluper.com. It's LUPER, Eric Luper, LUPER.com. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the series is The Chocolate Lab. 1, 2, 3 are out. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.